The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, let's get right into it. Let's talk about those Monday night football games that we had this week. They were both pretty much barn burners. Both winners ended up running away with it. So the first game was the Buffalo Bills against the Tennessee Titans. And the Bills just dominated from start to finish. They ended up getting the win 41-7. Josh Allen went 26 for 38 with 317 yards and 4 touchdowns. He actually didn't even play. They took him out of the game in like the end of the third quarter, towards the end of the third quarter. So he didn't even play the end of the third quarter and the entire fourth quarter, and he still had that stat line. And then Stephon Diggs, he had 12 receptions for 148 yards and 3 touchdowns. So the Bills, man, offensively, they looked beautiful. Defensively, they look great too. I mean, you could just see the instant impact that Von Miller is having on this defense. So really, man, the Bills are that team. I mean, a lot of people, including myself, picked them to win the Super Bowl this year. And right now, they are not disappointing. The Titans, I was not really shocked by what they've been putting on the field, just because, like I said, I thought it was a mistake that they traded away A.J. Brown in the offseason. And then, they've got Derrick Henry, but he is coming off of a foot injury, and he's a running back, so that's going to affect him regardless. And they're just a weird team, because they've never, they've been a good team the last couple of seasons, but they haven't been so good where you're, like, intimidated by them, and you're like, oh, yeah, that team's going to win. Even though they were the number one overall seed last year in the AFC, I still was never really convinced that they were a Super Bowl team. And I thought this offseason they got worse. And so to see that they just got dominated. First, they barely lose to the Giants in their home opener in week one. And then now they get their asses smashed against the Bills in week two. It's still early, and they are in a very, very weak division, probably the worst division in football still. So they, of course, have a chance. But the Titans are not looking good at all. I mean, the reason why this was such a high-scoring affair is not just because the Bills' offense just went off and their defense was playing great, but, I mean, they had a couple turnovers, and they also, made some big special teams plays. I think there was a muff punt or two. So, Bills just absolutely dominated. Then the other game was the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Minnesota Vikings. And, what could have been a competitive game turned out to be a piece of shit. You know, the Eagles dominated from start to finish. They won the game 24-7. Jalen Hurts is just having a great season so far. He went 26 for 31 for 333 yards and a touchdown, and then he also had 57 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns, and he's just having a great start to his season. Kirk Cousins did what Kirk Cousins do. I said you really want to watch out for Kirk Cousins on these primetime games. For some reason, he never, ever shines. It's usually exactly what he did. It's like Interception City. He had this horrible interception in the red zone when the Vikings were driving. They really just never got anything going. And so that's the Vikings. That's why I don't trust them, is because that's what they do every single year, is they will come out, they will dominate the Packers like they did in week one. And then week two, completely shit the bed against the Eagles. So wasn't much of a showing for the Vikings that night, but the Eagles, they looked pretty damn good. I mean, I'm still not on a bandwagon, because A, it's going to take me a long ass time to get on any type of Eagles bandwagon, because hello, I fucking hate the Eagles. But if they're a good team, trust me, I will admit they're a good team. I mean, hello, I've had the Los Angeles Dodgers ranked as my number one power ranking team in my MLB power rankings for a couple months now, so I can admit when a team is good. Right now, Eagles, they look good, but I'm still not really convinced that they're a team that's really going to dominate this season, but I'm not saying they won't either, but just because Jalen Hurts is playing really, really well, at least he is right now. So let's get right into my top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. As weird as it was last week, because this week now we'll have like legit teams who should be in the top 10, whereas last week I pretty much just went with all teams that won because the teams that lost pretty much lost in horrible fashion. So, but not much of a shakeup at the top. But then at the bottom, there's some teams in there who have just now made their way in. So let's start it off with the number one team. The Buffalo Bills, of course. They are 2-0. Like I just said, they beat the Tennessee Titans. And really, they're just having an all-around great season. And, you know, beating the two teams that they've beat, those were two teams. I mean, the Rams are the defending Super Bowl champions, and the Titans were the number one seed in the AFC last year. So if you're kind of going off of what those teams were last year, well, guess what? The Bills just beat two really solid teams. And they dominated both of them, offensively, defensively, special teams. The Bills just look like the team to beat, at least for now they do. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Kansas City Chiefs. They are 2-0. They just beat their division rival, the Los Angeles Chargers, 27-24 last Thursday. Patrick Mahomes right now, he is tied for the league lead with 7 touchdowns already on the season. Also of note, Carson Wentz is in that category. He has 7 touchdowns on the season. And a couple other guys do too. Tua has 7 touchdowns on the season as well. So there's some dudes who are scoring some points right now. And Patrick Mahomes is, of course, at the top. And he really is just taking the lead and just dominating offensively. I mean, he lost Tyreek Hill, which was a big deal. And the ground game is still nothing great, but he's working that Mahomes magic, and he's doing his thing. And defensively, they're still not that great either. But hey, man, Mahomes is holding it down, and he's looking real solid. So I could not drop them down from the number two spot where they were last week. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they are also 2-0. They beat the New Orleans Saints this week. 20-10, so that's a division rival. That's the first time they have beat the Saints in the regular season since Tom Brady took over as their starting quarterback. Really, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are being completely dominated with their defense. Their defense had 3 interceptions this last week. They're just really nothing to fuck with. You really got to look at this Tampa Bay Bucs defense, and their secondary is just getting it done. The front seven's really giving the opposing quarterbacks happy feet or just getting them on the ground. And offensively, you know, of course they have Tom Brady, who, by the way, I just got to say, out of all the years this dude has played football, I have never seen him look so unhappy. It's just so weird. He has, and whatever, obviously whatever's going on in his personal life is affecting him, because I mean, he's not playing bad on the field. I wouldn't say, I mean, he's doing what he do. But when he's at the podium, or just when I was watching him enter the stadium at pregame, he just looks kind of pissed off. So, and not in like an I'm motivated pissed off way. Like, he seems pretty drained. So I don't know what's going on with good old Tommy boy there, but he looks miserable. And it was hilarious seeing him throw his little iPad there on the sideline, or whatever the fuck it's called, the Microsoft Surface or whatever the fuck they are. So I just think he's having a miserable season. And then also, you top it off, there's been a bunch of injuries on the offensive line for the Bucs, and then also their receiving core, which is really deep. Thankfully for them, is really deep. Because a lot of them are getting injured. They just had to pick up Cole Beasley today on the free agent wire. So we'll see how he fits in with them. But defensively, there's no worries with the Bucs. It's really offensively, we're going to see if they're able to overcome these injuries that just seem to keep coming and coming and coming. But this week doesn't get easier for them either, because Green Bay comes to town. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Philadelphia Eagles, who are 2-0. They beat the Minnesota Vikings 24-7. And like I said, Jalen Hurts is just having a phenomenal season so far. He really is the reason why this team's done so well in these first two wins. I still have a lot of questions about the Eagles, but I mean, as far as Jalen Hurts goes, dude looks like he's shown up and he's played really well so far in these first two games. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Miami Dolphins, who are also 2-0. They just beat the Baltimore Ravens in a crazy game this week, 42-38. As I mentioned earlier, Tua Tagovailoa, he's tied for the league lead in touchdowns with 7 touchdowns. Oh, I also forgot to mention Josh Allen is also one of those quarterbacks with 7 touchdowns on the season as well. Shockingly, Tua leads the league in passing yards. Currently, he has 739. Now, he does have 2 of the fastest receivers in the league with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, but hey. Offensively, the Dolphins look great. Defensively, there are tons of questions there. But, I mean, offensively, they are rolling. They look really good right now. And we'll see what goes down with the Miami Dolphins as the season rolls on. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Los Angeles Chargers, they are currently 1-1. They are coming off of a tough loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. It wasn't an ass-kicking, though. They barely lost. It was 27-24. Really, they are an all-around good team. I mean, offensively, they have it all together. It looks like Justin Herbert, it looks like he's going to play this week. It looks like he just kind of has a bruise with the rib, so he's going to play. And as long as he's playing, this team and this offense is rolling. But defensively, they really have just taking a huge leap forward from where they were last year. They still need work. You could really tell that that their coach learned his lesson last year, because last year he was all about going for it on basically every fourth down. He would go for it. If it was like 4th and 1 or 4th and 5, he was always going for it. Well, now you could tell he really learned his lesson, because he wasn't going to do that against the Kansas City Chiefs this week, because he knew you can't let Patrick Mahomes, you can't set him up with good field position, because that dude is going to score 99.9% of the time at this rate. So he's definitely worked on his going for it on 4th down every time, because I understand there are situations you definitely want to go for it on 4th down. And you see it now more and more that going for it on 4th down is just... It's pretty common these days, whereas it used to be you'd really rarely go for it on 4th down. But now you're going for it a lot on 4th down these days. And the Chargers coach last year, he was just going for it on 4th down like every single time. And it cost them multiple games, because sometimes you just got to take the points. And he finally learned that lesson, and it showed in this game against the Chiefs. And you could tell that instead of going for it on a couple of the 4th downs, that he decided to either punt it away or he went for the field goal, which is much smarter, and that is the way you have to go. I'm not against going for it on 4th down, of course, but I mean, this dude was going for it like every single time last year, and there were a couple games where I was just like, man, if you would have just taken the points, you would have had a much better chance at a win in this game. So he's definitely learned from those mistakes. Obviously the Chargers still have some work to do, since they were unable to get over the Kansas City Chiefs hump, but it's still week 2 and there's still a lot of football to be played. So, we'll see how the Chargers grow into this team, as the season goes on. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Baltimore Ravens, who are 1-1. They just took a hard loss to the Miami Dolphins, 42-38. Lamar Jackson, though, is just having a phenomenal season. The dude gained like 25 pounds of muscle in the offseason, just because since he's a running quarterback, he really needs to build the muscle, because he's going to, when you're running, that means people are going to be tackling you more. So he needs to gain the muscle so he has less injuries, especially after last year, because that's what happened. He ended up getting injured. And he is a great quarterback on the run, so you don't want to take away that aspect of his game. But he really is just carrying this team. He doesn't have that great of a receiving core, but he's really making the best of what he's got. And defensively, while they did give it up last week, I still think they're a solid defense. And, you know, they still have one of the best coaches in the league as well. So the Ravens looking real good right now. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Los Angeles Rams. They are 1-1 on the season. They just beat the Atlanta Falcons this week. It was a close one. It actually started off as a runaway, but Atlanta Falcons actually made it a pretty interesting game in the second half. Ended up being a 31-27 win by the Rams. You know, Matthew Stafford, he came back and he looked like good old regular Matthew Stafford. He was throwing touchdowns to Cooper Kupp, even to Allen Robinson, who was their big offseason pickup on the offense. And, you know, he had a quiet week one, but he finally was able to show up in week two here. Cooper Kupp, of course, he had a great game. And then defensively, they also had a great game with oh my God, the cornerback's name, Jalen, almost said Jalen Hurts, but, why am I whatever, you all know who I'm talking about if you're a football fan. Their cornerback, they're really good quarterback. Jalen can't draw on the biggest blank on his last name right now. But he had a huge game-saving interception on the Falcons' last drive of the game, and that basically sealed the win for the Rams. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Green Bay Packers, who are 1-1. They just beat the Chicago Bears this week, 27-10. Aaron Rodgers, he's been looking good. It's just his receivers he's got to work out the kinks with them because they're all brand new, except for Lazard, pretty much. So and Cobb, but everybody else is pretty much new to him. So he's got to get his rep with them. One thing that I do think the Packers need to really start leaning on actually is the ground attack instead, because they do have Aaron Jones, who is one of the best running backs in the league. He's very explosive. And if he's able to get out in the open area, past the offensive line, that guy is gone. And chances are going to be scoring you 6 points. And he's also great in the passing game also. So I think they really need to start leaning on Aaron Jones as opposed to the passing game, which is what they normally do, just because all the inexperience at the wide receiver position, it's gonna be growing pains. Whereas Aaron Jones, you already know what you could get from him. So just keep handing him off the ball, and I think they'll be all right. And then rounding out my top 10 NFL power rankings this week, the New York Giants. They are 2-0, and I really did not want to put them on here because I kind of feel like this 2-0 is very fluky. I hate saying that because, I mean, hey, you got your 2-0, you got those two wins, and a win's a win. They did beat the Carolina Panthers at home this week, 19-16, but neither one of these wins was very convincing. Now, week one, they went for it all on that ballsy play, going for the 2-point conversion rather than taking the field goal and just going for the win. So their defense is really, it's trash. It just really hasn't shown yet. But Saquon Barkley, I will give it up to him. You know, he's coming off of the last couple of seasons where he's just been debilitated by injuries. And he's just come right out the gate. And he looks good, looks like good old Saquon, if he's able to stay healthy. Because this is pretty much how he's looked at the beginning of every season. And then he ends up getting injured. And then you're like, shit, what the fuck happened to Saquon? But I still think this is kind of a fluky start for the Giants. But hey, they're 2-0. I was looking at all the teams and I was like, really? I can't put anybody above the Giants right now just because they are 2-0 and they're winning. So there it is, unfortunately. All right, and then we do have a Thursday night football game tomorrow. Not that great of a matchup. Sometimes this ends up being a good matchup, but this year I don't think it is, just because, especially at this point in the season, just because both teams look like crap right now, and that would be the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be at the Cleveland Browns. And right now the Cleveland Browns are currently a 3.5-point favorite. And, Pittsburgh's offense really has been awful so far, as expected. Their offensive line, I didn't think, regardless of who their quarterback was going to be, I didn't think they were going to have a fighting chance, just because that offensive line is horrible. and the receivers are all new-ish or, you know, very young and don't really have a rep with any of their quarterbacks on their roster besides what's-his-face, a third stringer, Mason Rudolph, and like we're playing that dude. And then Cleveland, on the other hand, their ground attack is really, really solid. But beyond that, their defense, not bad either. But beyond that, I mean, they're very shaky and up and down. And I mean, they really blew it last week. But I do expect them to get back on track this week because the Steelers are just an awful team. And while it is a division matchup, I still haven't seen anything impressive from the Steelers other than their defense. And without TJ Watt last week, they actually weren't that impressive. So we'll see how they're able to handle Cleveland this week. But I'm taking Cleveland to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 21-10 in the Thursday night matchup. All right, and then moving on to college football. Not much shakeups in the top 10 once again this week. We have Georgia at number one. They are 3-0. They kicked the crap out of South Carolina, 48-7. And then they're going to be playing Kent this week. So, I expect Georgia to continue to be number one next week. Then we've got Alabama at number two. They beat the crap out of ULM, 63-7. They will be playing Vanderbilt this weekend. Then you've got Ohio State at number three, and wow, they won 77-21. They do get Wisconsin this week, so I don't expect them to score 77 points, but they probably are going to get the win just because Wisconsin's not as good as they've been in the past. Now, OSU has lost to Wisconsin in big games. But I don't know if that's going to happen this week. So I kind of expect to see Ohio State win. Not with 77 points, though. And then Michigan is ranked number four this week. They are currently 3-0, and they kicked the crap out of Connecticut, 59-0. This week they play UMD. Once again, I did not research out some of these opponents. And as a matter of fact, I think I'm just going to continue to do what I started last week, where I just start throwing out, calling these schools just random, stupid names, because it's actually more amusing that way. So it looks like Michigan's going to be playing UMD this week, which is the University of Murder Dogs. That's what we're going to call them. But they're probably going to get murdered by Michigan, so we'll see how that goes. Then at number five, Clemson is 3-0, and they are coming off of a win this week against LT, 48-20. They will be playing Wake Forest this week, who are ranked 21, but I don't know if that's – it might be a close game, but I still expect Clemson to get that win. Then at number six – boo, you have the crappy-ass Oklahoma Sooners there who are 3-0. They beat Nebraska 49-14, and this week they play Kansas State. So they should still be ranked next week. Boo, Oklahoma. And then at number seven, you have my other least favorite college team, the USC Condoms, who are also 3-0, and they beat Fresno 45-17. They've got Oregon State this week. Then at number eight, you've got Kentucky, who continue to roll, man. They are 3-0. They are the surprise team. They just won 31-0 this week, and they will be playing NIU, National Idiots University. So we'll see how that goes for them. Then ranked at number nine, we've got Oklahoma State, who are 3-0, and wow, they just won this week, 63-7. They do have Baylor. They will be going to Baylor this week, who are ranked 17, so that should actually be a pretty good matchup. And even though it's a pretty good matchup, it's very possible that Oklahoma State could be losing that one. I don't know who I'm taking in that one, but it's just because Oklahoma State and Baylor, it's like they always alternate who wins, especially when they're ranked. While I think Oklahoma State is the better team, I really wouldn't be shocked to see Baylor get the win, especially because they're at home. And then rounding out the top 10 rankings in college football, you've got Arkansas, who are 3-0. They just won against Missouri State, 38-27. And they will be going to Texas A&M this week. Which will be interesting because A&M has already lost. They lost to Appalachian State a couple weeks ago, but they're still ranked. So we'll see how it goes. I will be hoping Arkansas wins because I fucking hate Texas A&M. But I actually wouldn't be shocked if Texas A&M makes it an interesting game, and not only an interesting game, but wins the game too. And then just a couple of other random notes that happened in college football this week. We had Herm Edwards. He was the coach of Arizona State. He's been the coach of Arizona State for the last, I didn't write down how many years. I want to say it's about 5 years, 4 or 5 years he's been there. Now, it's been an okay time there. He hasn't really won anything. I mean, they've been I would call them a solidly competitive team since he's been there. Now, there's been some recruiting issues over the last, I want to say, year or two. Arizona State's been under investigation for recruiting issues. But, I mean, I kind of expect that with every single college in the U.S. So that's not really shocking to me. But that is just a strike against the coach. And then to top it off, they have not started off this season well. As a matter of fact, they got beat on Saturday, and as Herm Edwards is literally walking off the field, he's shaking hands with the opponents on the field, and he's talking to the opposing coach, and then he starts heading towards the locker rooms, and you see standing by the field goal post the AD and the president of the college of Arizona State, and they shake his hand. You could tell they're having a very serious conversation. And it looks like Herm Edwards got fired right on the spot, right there on the field. Now, I don't know if he got fired or resigned. It could have been either one of them. But I just thought it was very, very shocking to see him walking right off the field and gets fired right then and there, literally, as they just lost. So that was pretty shocking to see. But, hey, man, being a coach, that is what it is. That's the job. And if you don't win, then you're going to get fired at some point. I mean, hell, Bill Belichick, one of the greatest coaches of all time, he's definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame, but I guarantee you if that dude doesn't start winning again for the Patriots, that dude's job's going to be on the line at some point, or he'll just retire just because he knows you got to win in this league. And even in college football, you really got to win, especially in college football, as a matter of fact, because I think they're more quick to fire a coach as opposed to the NFL. Just because in the college game, it's constantly moving. It moves a lot quicker, and especially now with the name, image, and likeness, and how players can get paid now. Recruiting is a lot different, and so it's a lot faster. And you just need to win, and that's really all there is to it. Herm Edwards didn't do enough winning for Arizona State, so they fired him right there on the field. And then just something else, it wasn't really anything that happened particularly in a game this week, but it was actually on the pregame this week. Now, if you'll recall, there's this loser coach named Urban Meyer who got fired from the Jacksonville Jaguars coaching job last year. He's also stepped away from both Ohio State and Florida with bullshit, weak-ass, stupid, retardo excuses that we all know are lies, but apparently everybody thinks Urban Meyer's this cool guy, or he just sucks great dick. That's just always been my theory on this guy, on how he continues to get jobs, is this guy must give great head, because I don't see what's so great about him. This weekend, he is now working for Fox as an analyst, which is hilarious to me because I don't know why anybody would want to listen to any type of opinion that this idiot has. Granted, yes, I understand he has won some national championships in the college game, but he hasn't in a long time, and he's been a complete and utter bozo for the majority of his coaching career. Like I said, when it ended at Florida, he basically lied about having like headaches, and then when he left Ohio State, it was something with his heart, or it was vice versa, one of the two at one of them. But he was a total fucking liar in both situations, and nobody calls him out in the media either, which I don't get. Then when he goes and signs with the Jacksonville Jaguars, which I thought was a stupid signing to begin with, it turned out to be one of the world's biggest disasters, laughing stocks, jokes that the NFL has ever seen as a coach. And so to see that this dude gets hired by Fox is just amusing to me. But you know what? It's not coaching. You know, just giving your opinions and working as an analyst for Fox is not the same type of job and demanding job as being a coach is. So whatever, he's given his crappy loser opinion that apparently people want to pay him for, which is just appalling in my opinion, but I digress. They were in Nebraska this week. And, you know, when there's fans in the crowd, and Nebraska just recently fired their coach. And so Nebraska is obviously looking for a new coach. And during this pregame thing, the crowd of Nebraska fans are actually chanting, "We want Urban." And I am like laughing so hard because I'm like, do you idiots not understand what this guy is all about? He's not about winning. This dude is just about being an arrogant fucking asshole who's like, oh, look at me. I'm the epitome of what everybody hates in life. I'm the straight white guy who just walks in, who doesn't do anything. But apparently everybody wants to continue to give me jobs for no other reason than I'm just a fucking asshole. And the Nebraska fans are like wanting this guy. I'm like, ugh, God. And don't get me wrong, I would not be shocked if there is a college football team that does sign Urban Meyer at some point in the future. I wouldn't say near future, maybe in a couple years, kind of when people start to forget and we get further away from his time in Jacksonville, maybe in like 2-3 years, a college team will pick him up. But if this guy gets another coaching job, that you get what you deserve in that instance, because he's not going, he might give you a couple of fun years or competitive years and maybe even a national championship or a shot at it. But then dude's going to start his period and get a headache and he's going to get cramps and then he's going to be like, oh, gee, guys, I'm sorry. I need to go fuck some prostitutes or some shit. I can't coach this team. What are y'all talking about? So I just found that just absolutely atrocious. And I would not want this dude coaching my Longhorns ever. As a matter of fact, I was hesitant when the Longhorns signed Steve Sarkisian, because if you'll remember, Sark used to be the coach at USC years ago, and the team wasn't bad, actually. The problem is that he was a total fucking alcoholic, and there are some crazy stories about his time at USC and how he would show up to, like, booster parties, just zonked out of his mind. And I'm not kidding. I think I've even read like a story, and this could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I read a story where he was like so drunk his pants were like around his waist or whatever. So like, this guy had some follies, and he did end up losing his job as the coach at USC because of it. Now, he did end up going to rehab. And then he took a little bit of time off in between, and then he would eventually go become the offensive coordinator at Alabama, and they would be very successful with him as an offensive coordinator. And I remember when the Longhorns interviewed him, I was very hesitant to be accepting of it. Not because I don't think people can change. I actually do think people can change, especially if you're an addict. It's happened many times where people don't go back to it. But I just was like, oh my God, do we really want this guy coaching our team? But I mean, since he's kept his nose clean for the time being, I'm good with him being our coach. But I was hesitant and not excited at first just because of his track record from years ago with USC and being an alcoholic. So you damn well better know I don't want no motherfucking Urban Meyer as the coach of the Longhorns. Even if we are worse than we've ever been. I mean, last year was one of the worst seasons as a Longhorns fan by far. And if we had even had rumblings that we were going to sign Urban Meyer, I would have been so pissed. Now, obviously, I've already said it before, I'm always rooting for my teams. And no matter who's their coach, who's playing, no matter how shitty they are, whatever, I always root for them. So if Urban Meyer, of course, would become the coach of the Longhorns, I'm still going to root for them. But I would not be thrilled about it, because that dude is a bozo. Like, that's the absolute word you would describe Urban Meyer as, a bozo, because he's just an idiot. And he doesn't give a shit about anything. And he just has that fucking shit-eating, arrogant look on his face all the fucking time. But all I know is that dude must suck some good dick because he keeps getting job after job after job, and there ain't nothing that great about him, in my opinion. There's a lot of other people who have done a lot of worse things than him, and they have lost their jobs and never been able to come back. But then there you got good old dick-sucking Urban Meyer, continues to get job after job after job, and then you even after all the shit this guy has done, leaving teams, like, high and dry. You know, it's one thing, all the shit he did off the field with, like, you know, going to parties and maybe fooling around with other chicks and all that kind of stuff. That's one thing. But when you're actually not doing your job as a coach, that's a whole other thing. And I got issues with that real bad. And if you're Nebraska fans, how the hell are you, like, wanting that dude as your coach? Because he's proven he doesn't give a shit about being a coach. He just wants the money, and that's all he wants. That's what I see with him. So maybe Nebraska fans might get their wish, and then they can have fun with whatever lie or whatever stupidity comes along with Urban the Bozo Meyer. That's today's show, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.